Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
People are saying it goes down with one of the most incredible. It was so complex. 152 airplanes, many. Talk about boots on the ground. We had a lot of boots on the ground. But it was amazing. And think of it, nobody was killed. And on the other side, a lot of people were killed. Unfortunately, I say that, soldiers. Cubans, mostly Cubans, but many killed.
Days after the U.S. attack on Venezuela and the abduction of President Nicolas Maduro, President Trump's announced the interim leaders of Venezuela have agreed to turn over between 30 and 50 million barrels of oil to the United States. We'll go to Colombia as Trump threatens to target Colombia as well. Then to the Trump administration's threats to seize Greenland from Denmark.
The United States should have Greenland as part of the United States. There's no need to even think or talk about this in the context that you're asking of a military operation. Nobody's going to fight the United States militarily over the future of Greenland.
Finally, Firestorm, the great Los Angeles fires, and America's new age of disaster.
Well, Firestorm is my personal accounting of covering the great Los Angeles fires in 2025 and America's new age of disaster. It might read like a sci-fi thriller, but it is a minute-by-minute accounting of what is a lived reality for so many people.
We'll speak to MS Now reporter Jacob Soboroff about his new book on last year's devastating L.A. fires. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Venezuela's military announced 24 security officers were killed in the U.S. military raid that led to the abduction of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro on Saturday. U.S. officials assess overall 80 people were killed in the attack. Meanwhile, Venezuelan officials are cracking down on any expression of support for Maduro's abduction. Journalists have been detained. Armed paramilitary groups have been deployed to quell dissent. This comes as the CIA reportedly concluded in a briefing to President Trump that senior Maduro loyalists, including the country's interim president, Delcy Rodriguez, were best positioned to ensure Venezuela's stability. On Tuesday, Rodriguez vowed to defend her country.
This is what President Maduro has named the Remarkable Challenge 2026, a Venezuela that refuses to surrender, a Venezuela in active resistance. Venezuelans are a dignified people, a peaceful people forging their own way. It's Venezuela that has demonstrated to the world one true character, that we've become stronger, that we've grown spiritually to confront the challenges, the attacks, the threats.
President Trump says Venezuela will give between 30 and 50 million barrels of oil worth $2 billion to the United States. In a post on social media, President Trump said, quote, "This oil will be sold at its market price, and that money will be controlled by me as president of the United States of America to ensure it'll be used to benefit the people of Venezuela and the United States!" Exclamation point. Reuters is reporting the oil was slated to be shipped to China, but will be redirected to the U.S. China has been Venezuela's top importer of crude oil for over a decade. Secretary of State Marco Rubio has reportedly told lawmakers in a briefing President Trump intends to buy Greenland instead of using military force to seize the autonomous territory controlled by Denmark. This comes as White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt said President Trump has not ruled out the use of troops to take over Greenland, saying in a statement, quote, "The president and his team are discussing a range of options to pursue this important foreign policy goal. And of course, utilizing the U.S. military is always an option at the commander-in-chief's disposal," she said. Meanwhile, the foreign ministers of Denmark and Greenland have requested a meeting with U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio in the near future, according to a statement posted Tuesday to Greenland's government website. Previous requests for a meeting were not successful, the statement said. The U.S. pledged to provide Ukraine with security guarantees for the first time, which include binding commitments to come to Kyiv's aid if Russia attacks again. The pledge came at a summit in Paris of Ukraine's European allies, attended by U.S. envoy Steve Witkoff and President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. French and British officials also signed a declaration to deploy troops to Ukraine after a ceasefire. Meanwhile, Ukrainian authorities say an overnight Russian attack on Kyiv Monday killed at least two people. In Gaza, Palestinian families said they felt optimistic amidst mounting reports, including by Al Jazeera, that the Rafah crossing with Egypt could soon reopen after more than 2 years of Israel's war and blockade. Qatar has accused Israel of political blackmail for hindering efforts to reopen the crossing and ensure the delivery of urgent humanitarian aid for hundreds of thousands of Palestinians. The reopening of the Rafah crossing was a condition of the first phase of the U.S. brokered truce between Israel and Hamas, which Israel has repeatedly violated since it went into effect in October. Doctors Without Borders announced Tuesday Israel had ordered the aid group to immediately cease all operations in Gaza, claiming they'd failed to comply with new restrictions, including sharing detailed information about Palestinian and international staff, funding, and operations. In news from the occupied West Bank, at least 11 Palestinians were injured after Israeli forces raided Berzeit University Tuesday north of Ramallah, reportedly firing live rounds, sound grenades, and tear gas on crowds. This comes as Israeli Foreign Minister Gideon Saar was in Somaliland on Tuesday. The visit was strongly condemned by Somalia and came just over a week after Israel became the first and only country in the world to recognize the breakaway Somali region of Somaliland as a sovereign state. This is the de facto leader of Somaliland.
It reflects not only political recognition, but also a shared commitment to transform that recognition into a substantive, forward-looking, and strategic partnership.
In Iran, over two dozen protesters have been killed during the past 10 days of protests across the country. That's according to Human Rights Activists News Agency, which reported at least 34 protesters have been killed and over 2,000 arrested. The protests began on December 28th over Iran's worsening economic situation, including a collapsing currency and high inflation. Many attribute the economic crisis partly to harsh U.S. sanctions against Iran. The Department of Homeland Security says it's arrested 150 people in Minneapolis following a surge of 2,000 ICE agents to Minnesota to probe alleged fraud at child care facilities. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem accompanied ICE officers during an arrest. In the video, she tells the handcuffed man, "You will be held accountable for your crimes," unquote. Minnesota's Democratic Governor Tim Walz said the ICE officers were not cooperating with local authorities and were simply a, quote, show for the cameras. The Trump administration slashing $10 billion in funding for social programs for families with children in five Democratic-led states. Trump officials have claimed the move is due to alleged fraud concerns amidst the recent scandal in Minnesota involving fraud at child care facilities. But Democratic lawmakers have condemned this as an act of political retribution. The five targeted states are California, Colorado, Illinois, Minnesota, and New York. Among the impacted programs are the Child Care and Development Fund, which subsidizes daycare for low-income households and assistance for parents living in poverty to receive cash assistance for diapers and other needs and attend job training. The group Fair Share America said in a statement, quote, "Rather than an isolated decision, this is part of a clear and dangerous pattern," they said. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the primary funder of PBS, NPR, and many local television and radio stations, has voted to dissolve itself. The CPB vote came after the elimination of federal funding and what its board called sustained political attacks, unquote. The CPB had been in operation since 1967 with the aim of supporting non-commercial and educational public media throughout the United States. The Texas chapter of the American Federation of Teachers filed a lawsuit Tuesday against Texas's education department for targeting hundreds of educators for their social media posts on the assassination of the right-wing activist Charlie Kirk. The lawsuit says, quote, public school teachers and other employees do not surrender their First Amendment rights simply by virtue of their employment, unquote. The lawsuit's challenging a letter sent by the Texas Education Department to school superintendents instructing them to report educators who made, quote, reprehensible and inappropriate, unquote, remarks about Kirk. California Republican Congress member Doug LaMalfa died at the age of 65, according to Republican officials. His death narrows the GOP's majority in the House to just 218 seats over 213 for Democrats, following the departure of Republican Congress member Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia. LaMalfa was a prominent ally of President Trump and challenged the outcome of the 2020 election, voting against certifying the results. And speaking to House Republicans at their retreat Tuesday, President Trump warned that the Democrats would impeach him again if the GOP does not win the midterm elections.
You got to win the midterms, because if we don't win the midterms, it's just going to be, I mean, they'll find a reason to impeach me. I'll get impeached. We don't impeach them. You know why? Because they're meaner than we are. We should have impeached Joe Biden for 100 different things.
President Trump then wrapped up his speech with a bizarre dance before the lawmakers. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
We begin today's show looking at the U.S. attack on Venezuela and the abduction of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife. On Tuesday, President Trump announced on Truth Social the interim leaders of Venezuela had agreed to turn over between 30 and 50 million barrels of oil to the United States. In his message, Trump wrote, quote, this oil will be sold at its market price and that money will be controlled by me as president of the United States of America to ensure it's used to benefit the people of Venezuela and the United States, exclamation point, unquote. This follows earlier remarks by Trump that he plans to, quote, take back Venezuela's oil. In recent days, Trump's also threatened other Latin American nations, including Colombia, Mexico, and Cuba. Speaking to reporters Sunday aboard Air Force One, Trump specifically targeted Colombian President Gustavo Petro and claimed without evidence that Petro is trafficking cocaine into the U.S.
Now, we have a very sick neighbor. It's not a neighbor, but it's close to a neighbor. And that's Venezuela. It's very sick. Colombia is very sick, too, run by a sick man who likes making cocaine and selling it to the United States. And he's not going to be doing it very long, let me tell you.
What does that mean? He's not going to be doing it very long.
He's not doing it very long. He has cocaine mills and cocaine factories. He's not going to be doing it very long.
So there will be an operation by the U.S. and Colombia?
It sounds good to me. Yeah.
Rubio mentioned Cuba yesterday.
They kill a lot of people, yeah.
In a series of posts on X, Colombian President Gustavo Petro blasted President Trump, saying, stop slandering me, Mr. Trump. Petro called on Latin America to unite against the U.S., saying the region risks being treated as a servant and a slave. We go now to Cauca, Colombia, where we're joined by Dr. Manuel Rosenthal, Colombian physician and activist with more than 40 years of involvement in grassroots political organizing with youth, indigenous communities, and urban and rural social movements. He's been exiled several times for his political activities. Manuel Rosenthal is part of the organization Pueblos en Camino, or People on the Path. Welcome back to Democracy Now!, Manuel. If you can start off by responding to these developments over the weekend, President Trump and the administration seize the president of Venezuela and his wife, bring them to New York, bomb both Caracas and other cities. 80 people are killed. And then says he's setting his sights on Petro, the president of Colombia. Your response and how people are responding on the ground.
Well, first of all, Amy, thank you for having me. The situation is evolving, but what is clear is that it's not only Colombia or Cuba. The entire world should be very worried, scared about what is already happening, not what might develop, but what is happening. And what is happening is, first of all, Trump, with his national security policy that he launched in December, he has announced the takeover of the entire continent. This is his region. He's appropriating this region. And as you stated, and he has stated, what Venezuelan oil belongs to him. And that he's made that very clear. Mexico is under threat. The entire continent is under threat. And as you all know, he liberated a drug trafficker from prison in the U.S. and the former president of Honduras, Hernandez, at the same time seizing Maduro as a drug trafficker bombing. So whatever's in his head, whatever impulse comes to him, and the people that surround him and feed his impulses, which include Stephen Miller, Vance, Rubio, Hegseth, etc., are already and have already committed crimes against humanity and war crimes like bombing boats in the Caribbean and the Pacific. So there's a war launched in the world, and the U.S. has announced our territory is not only not the Western Hemisphere even, but the entire Americas. Then at the same time, the China launched an exercise, a military exercise against Taiwan, and Trump's response was, I'm not worried about that. And we have the background of what happened before with Syria and what is happening in Ukraine. So right now what we're seeing is three contending forces, huge, Russia, China, the U.S., and others, allies and not, that are actually taking over what they, seizing what they feel is their territory for pillage. And the risk is for everybody. Within that context, one, President Petro is not a drug trafficker. President Petro has been a victim of drug mafias and their allies, not only in Colombia, but all over the world. President Trump and the people around him are closer to the money laundering machine and the transfer of funds to the North from drug trafficking than is Petro. Petro, in fact, has denounced and opposed them. And Petro, yes, is at risk based on a lie. And the lie is exactly what you shared with us, that Petro is a drug trafficker. That is the global image. But then also, and I have to say this, that does not mean I am defending or one should defend the Venezuelan regime. The U.S. had no right to seize Maduro, to attack Venezuela, no right whatsoever. That doesn't mean that there was an autocracy in Venezuela and that what is happening within Venezuela at the moment is that neither Maria Corina Machado nor the Chavista Maduro regime represent the majority of the people of Venezuela. And a new government is being established by Trump, from Trump, which is oil companies rule the country and the economy on the one hand. And on the other hand, Delcy Rodriguez and the other ones maintain stability and peace by repressing the people of Venezuela. The victims of all this for the moment are the people in Venezuela, of Venezuela, and the majority of the people in the continent.
And Manuel also talked this, these threats of Trump against Colombia, the third largest Spanish-speaking country in the world, far bigger than Venezuela in population. Colombia has over 50 million people. Could you talk a little bit about Petro as the president, his history and how contradictory his trajectory is to what Trump is alleging against him?
Absolutely, Juan. That has to be clarified. One may agree or disagree with his policies, but President Petro, for 30 years, he left the an armed insurgency that he was part of, and actually a commanding part of, that actually was forced into existence because of the robbery of an election in the 1970 by the elites of Colombia. They took an election that was won by a popular party and then forced people with the views that Petro shared into an armed struggle, the M19. But then he promised he would never take arms again. He would fight for peace, and he has been consistent with that. Nobody can say anything else about Petro. But then, as a member of Congress, Gustavo Petro was the single most leader in exposing the connections between Colombian governments, the Colombian army, paramilitaries, and the drug trade. And his voice will never be forgotten for that. His dignity, the strength of what he stated, and actually the evidence he presented to the Colombian people. He was then attacked. His life has been threatened because of his defense of peace, democracy, and his struggle against mafias, paramilitaries, etc. And then he becomes a mayor of Bogota, and he's removed from power by an elite machinery of mafias that he was actually proven to be, that this was the case, and he was innocent from what he was accused for. He was the mayor of the largest city in Colombia. After that, and after proving that he was innocent, he has the largest electoral base ever in the history of Colombia. And with that base, from that base, he becomes the president of Colombia. And he has seized more cocaine than any other government in the past. But not only that. And this is more important than how much cocaine he has seized. He has exposed the fact that New York City, Paris, Dubai are the centers of global mafias that are transferring millions and millions of dollars of money through drug trafficking from all over the world, and that they are the ones that control drug trade, including the Colombian production, transformation, or export of cocaine to the world. So money laundering is the key here, and these mafias are there. So he has stated clearly, to stop drug trade, you don't attack boats in the Caribbean, peasants in Colombia, and the presidents of Colombia or Venezuela. You find them, the center of command, up there in the U.S., in Paris, in Dubai, and also in the Cuban-American, Florida-allied representatives and Republicans allied with the Colombian elites that are attacking Petro.
And also, most Americans are not aware that Petro is about to leave office. He's term limited, and the elections in Colombia are just in 2 months. Why do you think that Trump is taking this point to target a man who is about to leave office?
Well, Juan, thank you for reminding me. That's a very important point. The fact is, at the end of his presidency, the majority of people in Colombia love Petro still. With mistakes, with disagreements, with contradictions, but most people love Petro. That is not the case with Maduro. Maduro pretends to be loved, but there's an autocratic regime there. Here, no. Petro has defended democracy. There are no human rights violations from the government. There is not a repressive regime. And social change in many areas has been at least attempted by the government, as I say, with mistakes and disagreements, and in a state of a growing war. But why is he being attacked now? Because Iván Cepeda, the son of a murdered member of Congress and a philosopher, an activist, a member of parliament, a fighter for human rights, he is a candidate or pre-candidate for the left in Colombia. If there were elections today, Ivan Cepeda would win in the first round. And he has vowed to continue with President Petro's legacy. So we would even have a stronger left-leaning social democratic government in Colombia. And that is what's behind this attack on Petro. The only way one can stop Cepeda and the left from winning again in Colombia, it seems, would be to do something dirty, which is condemn Petro, attack him of being a narco trafficker, and destroy the electoral process. This serves right into Álvaro Uribe Vélez mafias and all the former Colombian elites linked to U.S. Power.
Manuel Rosenthal, can you describe, as we begin to wrap up, what's happening on the border between Colombia and Venezuela right now, the tens of thousands of Colombian troops that have been deployed there?
Yes, absolutely. Like, that border is uncontrollable, and this has to be said. That all kinds of trades happen through there, including cocaine passing through that border into Venezuela and from there to the global markets. That is a fact. But also armed factions such as dissidents from FARC and ELN cross that border back and forth involved in drug trade. And the Colombian government broke a peace negotiation with ELN, the second largest guerrilla in Colombia before, now the largest one. And so tens of thousands of troops are in that border because, one, there could be an aggression from the Venezuelan side. Two, there could be a massive refugee crisis of people crossing from Venezuela into Colombia. And third, and mostly, because there is a war now between the Petro government and the ELN that has been involved in drug trade. And the ELN has vowed to launch an anti-imperialist, they call, war against the U.S. And in that context, the Colombian army has to stop ELN and has to protect the border. That's what's going on.
And we're going to end with the Colombia's foreign minister speaking Tuesday.
We have said that every country in the international order has the right to its defense, its legitimate defense, and our army has the President of the Republic as its commander, and its mission is to defend the country's sovereignty. If that aggression were to come, the army must defend the national territory and the sovereignty of the country.
That's Colombia's foreign minister, Rosa Villavicencio. Manuel Rosenthal, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Longtime Colombian physician, activist, exiled several times for his political activities, part of the group People on the Path, Pueblos en Camino. We'll also do an interview in Spanish with him after the show and post it at democracynow.org. Next up, we look at President Trump's threats to seize Greenland from Denmark. Stay with us.
Is there a harbor, harbor for these hard times? Been going over the paths in my mind. 'Cause when we were younger, ran through the flowering trees. It's hard to remember sunlight and breeze. Oh, to find what we left behind and blur the battle lines. A welcome sign
Harbor for Hard Times by David Berkley. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Following the U.S. attack on Venezuela and the abduction of the president, the Trump administration's publicly saying it wants to take over Greenland, which has been controlled by Denmark for over 300 years. On Tuesday, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt said in a statement, quote, "The president and his team are discussing a range of options."